you have any proof that you gave him $1,200?
No, other than a bill of sale that he wrote me out.
A motorcycle seller pulling a stunt.
Paid in full, and you signed it.
Yeah, I did. Can I tell you the reason why I did not give him the bike? Yes, but...
Contract.
I understand that, but...
Contract.
But he just... can I say something, please?
Judge Judy. You are about to enter the courtroom of Judge Judith Scheindlin. This is Judge Judy. Richard Doolin is suing his former friend, Lauren Briscoe, for the return of money he paid for a motorcycle, stolen tires, and punitive damages for fraud.
Order. All rise.
Case number 413 on the calendar, in the matter of Doolin versus Briscoe.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Parties have been sworn in. You may be seated. Ma'am, have a seat, please.
Mr. Doolin, you've known the defendant for how long?
Since October.
How?
I met him off a site. I purchased a couple of TVs from him.
How did you find the TVs?
Off of a sales site. You purchase things and sell things off of this site.
Okay, and you were satisfied with the couple of TVs that you purchased from him?
Correct.
And then he was selling a motorcycle?
Correct.
And when did you see the motorcycle for sale?
The second time I went over to his house to get the TV.
Okay, was there a sign on it?
No, it was on his website.
And did you negotiate a price for the bike?
There was a price already set for the bike.
How much?
$1,600.
Did you take possession of the bike?
No.
Who has possession of the bike?
He does.
You have the bike now?
Yes, Your Honor.
Did you ever have possession of the bike?
No.
Did you ever give him any money for the bike?
Yes.
How much money did you give him?
I gave him all of it but $400.
So you gave him $1,200?
Yes.
Did he give you $1,200?
No, he did not, Your Honor.
How much did he give you?
$700 altogether for the bike, just in cash. And then we did a negotiation. Okay. Sorry.
Do you have any proof that you gave him $1,200?
No, other than a bill of sale that he wrote me out.
I'd like to see it. Would you show this to Mr. Briscoe? I'm checking the signatures on your answer.
Yes, I did write that. That's mine. Yes, I did write it.
That says that I sold the Honda 750 Shadow 1998 for $1,600 on 12/5/17 to Robert Doolin, paid in full, and you signed it.
Yeah, I did.
Great. And you have the bike.
I do. Well, can I tell you what's the reason why I did not give him the bike? See, after $700, he said that he didn't have any more money, so he asked if we can do something, like he had some merchandise he would sell me and trade for the cash to make up the $1,600. So I got the video equipment, which he was supposed to help me install, and he never came back. And finding out that two of the cameras had been sliced, I thought they might have been stolen. And then four tires that went flat on me, yes, but...
Contract.
I understand that, but...
Contract.
Tell me something, Judge Judy. Would you, if you bought something and you find out that it didn't work, would you want
to
honor that?
Listen
Is that
to me.
Fair?
Listen to me. I don't answer your questions.
Okay.
That's not my lot in life. My lot in life is to ask questions
Okay. And
to tell you what the law is. You said you were paid in full for a bike. He has this. You have the bike. I don't care about anything other than this.
But part of that agreement was the merchandise that he gave to me. That's part of that.
No, it is not unless you put it in here. This is a contract, just so that you know for the future, if you're buying and selling items, if this said, I sold the Honda 750 Shadow for $1,200 in cash, and a working surveillance camera, and it turned out that it wasn't working, then you can show me that it wasn't working. But what you said in this is, in your contract, four corners of the contract is, you sold him a bike, and you got paid in full. That's what it says, $1,600. So
okay.
He's coming to get the bike. He's coming to get the bike.
But can
the bike belongs to him. It doesn't say I'm going to sell it to him when I get a surveillance camera system that works, when I get tires that I like. It says I sold
him. Can I show you the pictures of the tires?
No.
I don't know.
No. This contract, sir.
Have you ever bought something that you had to take
back?
First
of all, I've never bought anything in my life.
But
have
you
bought something.
Have you ever bought anything that you had to return?
But I've never bought anything.
Have you?
Listen to me, sir. I'm a lawyer.
I understand that.
And I told you before, I don't answer your questions. If you put on your listening ears, you would understand what I'm saying to you. This is a contract of sale.
I got scammed.
Sir, that's your problem. If you're selling merchandise on the internet and you get scammed, that's your problem. Next time, be specific in your contract. Right now, he gave you money. I don't care how much money he gave you. You say he gave you $1,600. Don't talk to me. Listen, God gave you two of these and one of these for a reason. That means he wants you to use these twice as often as you use this. Do you understand? This, Mr. Briscoe, is a contract. In the law, you can't offer me what we call parole evidence to demonstrate that, well, you got scammed because I should have put in tires in here, I should have put in the fact that some of it was barter, and that I expected to get a working security camera for it. All that's supposed to be in here. Right now, all he has to produce me is your contract and the fact that he doesn't have his motorcycle. He gets his motorcycle. Do you understand?
But he just, can I say something, please? He just told you he didn't give me $1,600 in cash. He gave me $12. That's what he says.
No, listen to me. You say, but you got $16.
He said, though, that was $1,600 was a rounding of the merchandise and the cash together.
He's coming. Listen to me.
Together.
You're not using the ears like I told you.
Sorry.
That's parole evidence. That doesn't say that in here. He's not getting $1,600 back. He's getting his bicycle, because that's what this contract says. And we'll prepare an order. Now we're going to get to your counterclaim. Money owed for remaining payments on the bike and the value of 1950s moon rocks taken without permission. So I'm going to hear the moon rocks.
Okay, well, we went to the swap meet together, and I had mentioned to him earlier that how much this moon rock, it was a moon glow rock. It's a plastic from the 50s. It was a vintage piece of jewelry. I have a picture of it, or something like it. I told him that it was worth at least $250, and he was watching my jewelry. I was going to get lunch. I'd fallen asleep just for just a second. Anyway, what happened was is that when I got home, there was no moon rock, and he didn't sell it. So I thought under his watch of watching my stuff, he would have been responsible for that moon rock.
I'll prepare an order, sir. You can go pick up your bike. Thank you very much. We're done.
Yeah. All these are excused. You may step out.
Well, I got scammed by a scam artist.
Yeah, he was a liar and a cheat.
He drove in front of my house, honked his horn for like 15 minutes.
He didn't give me my motorcycle I paid for.
Telling all my neighbors I was a thief and a liar, so.
I don't want to see him.
Then I never see him again.
And now, the next case.
All parties in the matter of West versus Ebell. Step forward.
Jonathan West is suing his former friend, Patrick Ebell, for money loaned while on vacation in Nicaragua and stolen property.
I have to tell you, Mr. West, before we start, sir, I'm skeptical about your case.
I understand that, Your Honor.
I hope you understand that, sir.
Okay.
Where do you live?
I live in Arlington, Virginia.
What kind of work do you do?
I'm in finance for the government.
Which department do you work for?
I work for NAVC. It's a Navy contractor.
And what about you, Mr. Ebell?
I'm in sales.
For whom?
For a company in San Diego.
Where do you live?
I live in Bethesda, Maryland.
And how long have you been with them?
About 2 years.
Are you commission or on salary?
I get some salary, but mostly commission.
So you and Mr. West are friends. And when you're involved in sales, this company who's on the West Coast, is that where their main office is?
The main office, yes.
Do you understand why I'm skeptical about your case, Mr. West?
I do, ma'am.
I
have enough evidence here to prove you don't have to be skeptical. It's a real case. It's really happened.
Yeah. You're going to have to convince me, Mr. West.
Sure, I can do that.
I doubt it.
Okay.
Big time, doubt it.
I have receipts. I have pictures. I have itineraries. You know, whatever I can do to prove you know, that this is a real case, I'd love to have the opportunity.
Why would you even think that I would think it wasn't a real case, Mr. West?
Maybe because
I didn't say, I said I'm just skeptical about your case. Why would you think that I would even think that it wasn't a real case? That is odd. When I said I'm skeptical about your case, what would make you think that I would think that it was not a legitimate case rather than being that you had no case,
I understand.
Mr. West.
It's a complicated case. I feel
no,
like
it's not complicated, sir. I'm a very smart lady. That's why they keep me here.
Yes, ma'am.
So what do you think is going through my mind now when I said to you I'm skeptical about your case and you say to me I have all the evidence here, so I want to show you that it's a real case rather than just I have no case.
That was the adjective I used. I apologize. I did not mean to use that.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Did you have a good time last night?
Did you?
I'm asking you. I'm just asking you a question.
I said,
did you have a good time last night? You're in a new place. You're in L.A., right?
Yes, yes. Had a
flew
good time.
You here.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm asking you is, did you have a good time last night?
Yes, I had a good time.
Where did you have dinner?
At the hotel.
With whom?
By myself.
All by yourself?
Mm-hmm.
And you're going home today?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
Mm-hmm.
And you came when?
Last night. Got in about 5 o'clock.
So you really only had a day, and you're going home tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Did you get to see your boss?
No. I come back in 2 weeks. I'm to San Diego.
Okay, Mr. West, this is what your case is about. You and Mr. Ebel were friends. You were going to Nicaragua with a whole bunch of other people, and you say that Mr. Ebel didn't pay what he was supposed to pay. He was a deadbeat. He got on the trip with you, and all of a sudden his credit cards were maxed. You had to help him out when he was there. Then he stayed an extra 3 days after the rest of you left because he came 3 days late, and he owes you all kinds of money.
Yes,
what's your defense?
I don't owe him anything.
I just want to know what your defense is.
Oh, yeah.
If he paid for anything for you, what's your defense?
Well, my defense is that he really wanted me to go on this surfing trip, and he begged me to go, basically. He's like, you got to go on this. I really want you to go. And I told him, look, I don't have time right now at the time.
Did
I don't have the money.
Did they not know that we were brought up in Brooklyn? Well, I was, at least. Did they not know that? Where do you originally come from, Mr. Ebel?
Maryland.
Maryland. And you?
Pensacola, Florida.
You know, Mr. West, let me tell you my problem.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. And later today...
I assume that this is the new mechanic.
He did not install the transmission, but he owns a transmission shop and is able to vouch for all the work that was done. He's an expert witness.
Did you, Ms. Campbell, you don't determine if he's an expert witness. I tell you if he's an expert witness. Do you understand?
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Jonathan West is suing his former friend, Patrick Ebel, for money loaned while on vacation in Nicaragua and stolen property.
You know, Mr. West, let me tell you my problem. If I get a stinky sense of a case, but you know, sometimes I'm wrong, sometimes happens. So I don't want you to be put out if this is one of those cases where I'm wrong. I don't want you to be at $1,000 or whatever you think
ma'am.
He owes you. So I'm going to dismiss your case without prejudice, and you can go back and sue him in Maryland or Virginia, because he's right over the bridge. Got it? Perfect. Goodbye.
Parties are excused. You may step out.
And now, the next case.
All parties in the matter of Campbell versus Peterson. Step forward.
Jeanette Campbell is suing mechanic Brad Peterson for damaging her car when he installed a new transmission.
Mr. Peterson, Ms. Campbell brought in her car for you to fix and put in a new transmission. You quoted her a price, which was?
$700.
And she brought in the car when?
October 17.
And she picked up the car when?
November 17.
And she got a little bit down the road, and what she was supposed to do is put in a different transmission, not a new one, a rebuilt transmission.
Yes, ma'am.
This 2002 car, $700, she paid you. She drove the car down a block or 5 minutes down the road, couldn't move the car. She took it to a new mechanic. I assume that this is the new mechanic.
This is an expert witness.
Just
that
a second. Is this the new mechanic?
This is the mechanic. He did not install the transmission, but he owns a transmission shop and is able to vouch for all the work that was done.
Just a second.
He's an expert
did
witness.
Did you, Ms. Campbell, you don't determine if he's an expert witness. I tell you if he's an expert witness. Do you understand? That's what the court does. You don't bring somebody and say they're an expert witness. Is this the person who either fixed the car or owns the shop that fixed the car?
No, ma'am.
Well, why didn't you bring that person?
Because he evaluated my car.
No, just what's the reason?
They did not want to come out here today, the owners of the transmission shop that repaired the shop.
In what jurisdiction do you live?
Wayne County, North Carolina. I tried numerous times to get in touch with them without success.
Do you have a bill from them?
I do.
I'd like to see the bill. So she picked up the car on the 7th of November. See when she brought the car into its second place. ABS line, transmission, steering mount, power steering, stop leak. Anyway, they charged you $1,921.
And 50 cents, yes, ma'am.
So I have the following questions to ask you, sir.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
I don't know what this is. Could you tell
me? There's the transmission mount. What you can see, fresh cut marks on the top of it, which should never been cut.
So it had to be cut?
To fit in there.
Is this where it was cut?
Yes, ma'am.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy.
Jeanette Campbell says mechanic Brad Peterson damaged her car when he installed the wrong transmission.
So I have the following questions to ask you, sir. The transmission that you put in her car.
Yes, ma'am.
Did you have to do any other work on the car, cutting it, reshaping any part of the underneath car to have that transmission fit?
No, ma'am. That's,
so you didn't cut anything on the bottom or realign anything on the underneath of the car. The transmission just fit right in.
Yes.
Your Honor, I disagree with that.
Just a sec. Do you have photographs of the underneath of the car?
Yes, ma'am.
May I take a look at them? Now, sir, would you stand up? Tell me your name.
I'm Lloyd Holt, ma'am.
Mr. Holt, what do you do for a living?
I own a transmission business.
Do you know him?
No, ma'am.
How long have you owned that business?
I've been partners with my daddy, and I own it on myself now about 22 years.
Can you take a look? She gave me a whole bunch of pictures, but I don't know what they mean.
Yes, ma'am.
What kind of transmission did you put in the car, Mr. Peterson?
An automatic transaxle.
Do you know that transmission, sir?
Yes, ma'am.
Does that fit this car?
There's 2-3 years of work, 2001, 2 or 3, and what I looked at and checked out, her notes and everything else, is he put the wrong gear model transmission in it. It would not work properly. And if also, if he had to do any modifications, which are in pictures there, cutting anything, changing anything, it was not the right transmission. It should have bolted in there, no modifications done whatsoever. It should have bolted up and worked properly.
I don't know what this is. Could you tell
me? There's the transmission mount. What you can see, fresh cut marks on the top of it, which should have never been cut.
So it had to be cut?
To fit in there. Yes, ma'am.
Is this where it was cut?
Yes, ma'am.
That was there. I put the second transmission in that. The transmission had been replaced before she brought it to me.
How long before?
I have no idea.
How long before?
Ma'am, as far as I know, it had never been replaced.
When did you buy the car?
February 2017, so a year. I've owned it a year.
How much did you pay for the car?
$2,400, and it ran perfectly.
Well, it didn't run perfectly because 9 months later we needed a new transmission.
True. But
and that doesn't happen overnight.
Your Honor, but it worked properly until October. So but from some, 8 months,
so
it worked
eight
properly.
Months, 8 months, it worked fine.
Yes.
Okay.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. Have you been cheated? Go to judgejudy.com. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
So what you're telling me is sometime before she bought it, somebody else had put in another transmission.
Obviously a used one.
Hold on just a second.
Okay.
But he says the transmission that you put in the car was wrong. And that's why it didn't run, and that's why she had to take it to another shop the same day.
It was taken out of a 2002 Ford Taurus. Hers is a Mercury Sable, which is
basically gets her money
the same
back.
Car.
Did you pay him $700?
I paid him a total of $900 in the end. And
why?
I picked initially, he quoted me as $700, and then he said that he needed $200 down just to start the job. Then he said that the job would be an additional $700.
So you paid him a total of $900?
Correct.
Is that
and
correct?
I have a receipt
yes,
here.
$900, judgment for the plaintiff. We're done. Thank you.
Parties are excused. You may step out.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. And on the next Judge Judy.
Well, I formed the services that she hired me for.
When I tried to drive it off after he repaired it within 10 minutes down the road, the RPMs were soaring.
The $200 was for the used transmission.
I had to pull over, and I couldn't go above 35 miles an hour.
Not the labor. The labor was 700.
And I knew immediately I needed to take it to a professional.
It was a used transmission. It was noted no warranty. I have no idea if it was any good or not.
He said it was a used, but he said he guaranteed, he stood behind his work and that it would work.
It was a chance you was taking for low money.
And from now on, I will always use a professional when dealing with my car.